alleyway, introduces herself to Mary, and then pulls out a fish fillet from her purse and offers it to Mary.
Okay, okay. Good bit.
Would you eat the filet-o fish?
I don't know. I mean, I'm not a big fan of eating something somebody pulls out of a bag.
It was still warm. You
know, that's not a selling point. It's fish.
Welcome to TV I Say with Ashley Ray, your go-to podcast for discovering what to watch on TV and getting behind-the-scenes insight from the people who make the shows you love. You just heard a little tease of my chat with Colton Dunn. Colton Dunn, you might know him as the real heartthrob of Cloud 6 from Superstore. Yeah, you know, everybody's favorite NBC sitcom. What do you think I was going to say? Colton Dunn joins us today to talk all things TV, what he's watching right now. He also dives in on some pretty big feuds that have been happening. Where does he fall between Z-Way and Mary Cosby and that fish fillet that she gave her? Is he taking Nat's side or Toomey's side on Below Deck Med? We're going to get into all of that. We're also going to talk about some dearly departed shows that have been canceled. We're talking Gen V. And then we're getting into a lot of Apple TV hits. Yeah, it turns out we're both Apple TV heads. So we got a lot to say about The Morning Show, Invasion, Foundation, Hijack. You're going to love this episode. So let's just get right into it. Enjoy my interview with Colton Dunn.
Escape to Ocean City, Maryland, and discover a place that just feels lighter, where every day feels like Saturday, and French fries are a food group, where flip-flops are always in fashion, and seafood is always in season, where the boardwalk is bustling, and the beach is right outside your door, where you can rise with the tide and feel like a kid again. Ocean City, Maryland, somewhere to smile about. Book your trip at OCOcean.com.
You like to watch new stuff, right? Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time. Like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's all new, and it's streaming now on Hulu.
Colton Dunn, welcome to TV Club. I'm so excited to have you here. Look, if you know TV, you know Colton Dunn. Like, because you, to me, you're one of my favorite people in television. Their Superstore, Grand Crew, Pivoting. Can we say justice for Pivoting? We sell shirts.
Please, we need some justice.
We
for
sell
pivoting,
shirts
man.
That say
Come
justice
on.
For pivoting on the
that
Pod
show was
Swag
amazing.
Website. It was so good.
I loved that show.
I loved
so
that
good.
Show.
Such a heartfelt story. So funny.
Heartfelt, you know? And there was some drama because it was a, you know, mid-season switch in for The Big Leap, which I also loved. Mm-hmm. But those two shows.
They're great.
They were great. And you were in it.
And I was there.
You were watching.
Right there the whole time.
It's just such a great ensemble. But again, there's movies, animated shows. If you're in LA, people have probably seen you doing improv. Yeah, I would say you were the real heartthrob of Cloud 9. It's Colton Dunn. Welcome to TV.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
there's no debate. Actually, everybody says this. It's a common Reddit. It's actually in all the trades. How are you doing? What have you been watching? How's it going? You know, we are still in the strike, like you said.
Still in the strike, you know. Let's see. At the time we record this, Writers Guild is finished. SAG's still negotiating. Animation Guild about to go in on it. Still striking. You know, I still go out to the picket lines. I'm in both the Writers Guild and SAG Guild. So huge effect on my my main source of income and my fallback, which was writing. So.
Yeah.
I
think I saw you at Netflix a few times. Netflix was my favorite place to go pick it. It was always kind of a party over there.
Oh, it's definitely that's the scene. I think Netflix was always the party. That's the scene. Got a lot of socialization. If you just want to get your steps in.
Yeah.
It's like Disney, Warner Brothers. Those are great.
Oh, yeah.
But I think the best part about being on strike and for your thing is that, you know, I have I have kids. Yeah. So between work and kids, I could rarely watch television. Well, being out of work,
so much TV to watch.
I've been able to watch some TV. Oh, yeah. So I finally got something to talk about.
Yeah. I mean, that has been the great part. I've caught up on everything. Like, people are like, have you seen this? And I'm like, oh, yeah. Like, what else am I doing? No, like, the writer strike's over. I finally had my little, like, hey, so what did you write? Like, where are you with things? And I was just like, I watched all of a season of Big Brother.
Yeah, I don't think anybody wrote those strike scripts.
Yeah, I was like, I watched all. Did you watch In Just Like That? And my manager's like, no, but could you consider some work? But I caught up on so many things. But what the people want to know is what you're watching. What have you been getting into?
Well, you know, look, I'm a big Star Wars guy. So obviously, the Ahsoka series was huge for me. That came out and getting to enjoy it, you know, for I'm sure obviously not everybody's big Star Wars heads, but there's a ton of other stories that go along with Star Wars, a lot like Marvel, right? So like you have kind of that main, like everyone knows, like Luke Skywalker or Darth Vader, but then they had these little animated shows that I didn't really get into at first because I just wasn't a big cartoon guy. But I started watching them during the pandemic, actually, the animated shows, because I had a couple friends who were like, no, you should check them out. So I watched a couple of the animated series, Rebels, and it's not the Phantom Menace, but it's the one where Ahsoka's in. And so I watched those two, and they were pretty good, you know, and they also, like, as they went on, you know, they got really good and kind of dark sometimes, especially Rebels, you know, and I was like, wow, man, this is intense. Well, then Ahsoka comes out, and that's like this, you know, so it's sort of like Mickey Mouse coming into the real world in a way, you know, it's like this completely like animated Jedi who's like jumping like, you know, 30 feet in the air and doing flips and sliding off everything. And they're like, we're going to make a live action one. And there's this whole other world of characters that exist in there. And the Ahsoka series just basically brought all that stuff together. So me, it was, you know, I just loved it. I love seeing all of these sort of characters from these sort of different worlds, you know, and just different style of media come into live action and be represented in that way, you know, by live actors who all just, I mean,
it's like an incredible cast, right?
It's incredible cast. And it was just, I loved it. You know, I mean, everybody's got their own, you know, I'm sure there are a lot of Star Wars people out there who got.
Yeah, I feel like
different episode, different thing.
I got into Star Wars because I dated, you know, one of those nerds who was a purist.
Sure.
Who was like, we watched the movies. I like just the movies and nothing, anything outside of that isn't canon or whatever. And so after like a while, I was like, all right, you're a nerd. You're wrong. I'm going to watch these things that are fun and cool. But I haven't started this yet. And I don't know why. I guess I stopped paying for Disney Plus. You know,
well, yeah,
some platforms. Yeah. You gotta swap.
Everybody had to pick. Everybody had to pick something.
You know, you swap them in and out. I had to get Stars for a while because they had Minx over there. That's over. So now that one goes. Let me get that Disney Plus month trial in so I can get started on this.
It's good. Amazing show, you know, almost female-led, you know, cast, you know, in a diverse cast. It was just so great, you know. Little kid, you know, Colton was just enjoying every second of it.
See, that's what I want. That's what I want to watch. I just want to, just give me fun stuff I would watch as a kid and go, oh, wow, I want to be there. I want to do that. So, okay, Disney Plus, it's getting back in the mix. They sent me part of your watch list, I think, and it also said you were watching Hijack.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, man. That's got Idris in it. Not anything that dude's in, you know, I'm watching that. But Hijack was like the perfect mix because it's, you know, had Idris in it. You know, I love that dude. I'll watch anything that dude does. And then it's got a sort of, you know, an airplane. And as weird as that sounds, I love airplanes.
Oh, yeah. As soon as I heard the pitch for this movie, I was like, I'm in. I love seeing fancy, fancy planes with like really fancy first classes. Like they had the ones with this door, the walls that go up. And I was just like, oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. International business class.
Nice stuff.
Oh, yeah. And it was good, man. I really liked it. You know, it was definitely one of those shows. You know, a lot of times those sort of like suspense shows where there's like lots of tension. And I'm different than my wife. My wife actually gets like tense and upset. And I just get angry. I just start getting mad that they haven't figured out the mystery. Like when it's like clearly like something else has happened or like, you know, it's like, okay, you know, I don't want to do any spoilers because there's a lot of like fun things in there, but there's a lot of stuff that happens in the show where, you know, I figured it out ahead of time and you're supposed to as the audience. And I think they want the viewer to be like, oh, it's tense. This thing's going to break. And in my mind, I'm like, I already know what it is. Just do it.
Yeah.
Just get it done with. Just release the mystery.
And they also like double back over different episodes because they give you like different perspectives. So you're like, yeah, we know. Mm-hmm. We know. We know. Yeah. We pieced it together. Let's get there. Come on. Let's go. Let's go, guys. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But I think I'm more like your wife. I was terrified. I was like, I would have to pause it. I was taking breaks. I was just like, oh my gosh. You know, when the one dude just like wouldn't stop talking about the bullet and his wife is like, oh, shut the hell up. I was just like, oh no, oh no, oh no.
Yeah, see, and I'm just like, lady, just let him say what he wants to say. Let's get going. Keep it moving.
No, he was putting their lives at risk. I was just like, he's going to die. She's going to lose her husband. It really got me. It pulled me in. Part of me, when I started it, I was like, oh, this could be a movie. They're like, why did we need to split it up over all these episodes? I mean, I guess they can make they can make another season. I would watch like Idris Elba just be on planes.
That would be kind of very much like the Die Hard world of like, how did this guy get stuck in another
hijacking?
I could see. Yeah, I do remember having the exact same thought of being like, you know what? I wonder if this would have been like an amazing movie, and they turned it into a good series. But you know, there was a lot of filler in there. You know, a lot of You know, like they dealt with the people on the ground and the air traffic control lady who had a kid she had to drop off at school.
Yeah, and she that's like a whole story a that she's like bad with time. When I realized we're getting into his son's wife's new boyfriend's career, I was like, this is too many side stories.
I know. And then they kind of had this sort of dynamic that. Yeah, it also felt very British to me, and like they probably would have had to deal with it differently. But it was like, you know, Idris' son is black, and his mother has started dating this white police officer, and they kind of like try to play sort of some of that dynamic in there.
Yeah,
but then it turned out that the cop became the hero. So
yeah,
the cop was just good.
And then actually the son is like, oh wait, actually it's like really great that you do.
I should have been nicer to this cop.
Yeah, I should have been nicer to you because like, you do care about me even though you're a cop. And like, actually, I guess your cops are good because you paid attention. And I was just like, I don't know what the message is there.
I don't know. I mean, let's just go back up to the plane.
Yeah, I just wanted the plane action. That's where it was. Like when that big twist.
What about
happens,
that little Irish lady?
Exactly.
She was bad. She was. Yeah. She was tough, man.
Yeah.
She was tiny too. She was like little, and I was like, oh, she's so little, but she's very, very intimidating. You know.
It was a great show. I think we're in a good era for Apple TV. I have actually been watching their shows. So
they're crushing it. You know, I don't know what they're doing, if they're using AI or what they're doing, but they're figuring it out over there, man. I love it.
Might be some AI magic.
Because I remember they had a show, you know, and I loved this show, even though I thought it was completely ridiculous, but I totally bought into it. But it's this show called C.
Oh, yeah. With Jason Momoa.
With Jason Momoa. And it was all like, about a future where nobody
could see. Yeah, I never watched it.
But he was really good at fighting people.
I never watched it because I heard that premise and I was like, what are we doing?
I don't know, dude. I don't know. But they made it work. I liked it. I went through the whole thing. I was like, oh, this is tight.
They do a lot of TV, man.
Tim Cook.
Yeah, they do a lot of shows like that. What's the one where they're just like, this is a giant hole or something? And
oh, they live in the hole? You're talking about The silo.
Silo, yeah. It's like
that's another like super premise. We all live in the silo. We have one window that looks outside and it looks horrible out there.
It's horrible and it's miserable.
But then there's a little glitch and it looks nice, but it goes back to looking
but
horrible.
I get really into their shows. I mean, I know there's the big ones. Everybody loves Severance and Ted Lasso.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. But I'm talking about the morning shows.
Oh,
okay,
yeah.
I'm there for it. I'm talking about Hello Tomorrow. Yeah, I watched
I loved Hello Tomorrow.
Oh, you watched Hello Tomorrow?
I loved it. I binge watched that one.
I watched it every week. I sat there. I was like, yes, it's Hello Tomorrow time.
Dude, it's great. I mean, it was another big premise.
Yes. I don't even... How would you describe it to people? How would you describe that show? Because I'm always like, so imagine Mad Men, but in kind of the future, but not.
Yeah, it's like basically like, a futuristic, with like super like mid-century style vibe that, I don't know. It's very hard to describe.
A traveling salesman scam artist who is trying to convince people to live on the moon.
Yeah, but you know what? It's really about a story about a father and a son.
Yeah, it is about family.
It's a family story, but as they always, which always makes me mad because I want it to be about the trip to the moon.
To the moon. So that's
like,
the part.
So like,
every time they would be like, "Oh no, you lied." I was just like, "You guys, the moon. Like, what are you talking about with this rocket? Let's discuss this."
But it was, I remember, especially the first three episodes, I just remember being like, wow, man, I don't think I've seen a show like this. It was just like, it has such a great style to it. And like the little tweaks that they had to make it the future were really cool. And they didn't do a lot of like, like on like C or Silo or like all that stuff where they like try to explain how they got to this future.
Yeah, it just
was none of that. It was just like, this is the world, kind of like Heathers or some of those other movies where it's just like, this is the world. It's a little weird. It's a little different. We're not going to explain.
But we don't explain it. We just go with it. It's this weird mix of the future, 1960s. I loved that show. I don't know if we're getting another season. I feel like they just kind of put it on a permanent weird hiatus. But it was that.
Well, the thing is that they're just so expensive, which is another reason why those Apple TV shows are great,
But
it is a
little
bit.
They just made another iPhone or whatever. I'm sure they got some money in the bank. They just put another one out.
Yeah, I know, but I don't know how well this one's going to do. It's breaking very
apparently,
easily.
Yeah. Someone just like put their thumb in the back and the whole thing like just crumbled up like a little
titanium.
So if they have to cut back on the Billy Crudup like budget in order to fund the phones, that I could see that happening,
But I would definitely do it. I'd love it. You know what I also just love is just another story in that world. It doesn't even have to be Billy Crudup and all that. I'd love just to see another story told in that just amazing world.
It was such a cool ensemble, and the way they would like tell the stories from all the different ways and people he scammed, it was good. But I don't know. It didn't get the awards and attention of a Ted Lasso. So who knows if Apple TV will nurture it?
I think it's because especially since you're a big TV person too, there's some people who I think turn that on and it's just like so weird.
Yeah.
That because they can't categorize what's going on, they just are like, you know what? I'm done. Like, just show me a soccer team and tell me they need to win.
And they need to win. And I get it. And it was very like, wait, do I like this person? Do I hate them? Why would I want anyone to succeed when he's a scammer?
Is it the 50s? Is it the future?
What is happening? Why do these people? Yeah, what's happening? It was also out at the same time as Dear Edward, which...
Oh, I don't think I saw that one.
I watched and loved. It was about a little boy who survives a plane crash. He's the only survivor and his whole family dies on the plane. And it's like the opposite of Hijack. Because he versus marriage doesn't say that. But this little boy like becomes an icon to all these people. He has to go live with his aunt. And then he realizes all these people have been like sending him letters from around the world because he's the only survivor. And he like discovers all these family secrets. And there's a grief group that meets every week to like discuss the people they lost on the plane. So each episode you like learn about someone who was on the plane.
And he just goes there to like be.
Well, that's the thing. He doesn't go to the grief group. He's like 12 years old. His aunt goes to the grief group. Edward doesn't go to anything. One of the big issues of the show is that this kid has experienced a major trauma. And everyone is just like, well, you're a prodigy who plays piano. So play the piano and feel better. And then you're just like, why is the aunt in the grief group every week? And we're just following her. But then it just becomes about all the people in the grief group. And it's like Connie Britton is in it. Like it's you. She's playing this like, okay. like drunk rich woman who finds out her husband was gay and cheating on her. It's every episode just makes you sob and cry in the most manipulative way. And I loved it. I was obsessed. Every week I was like, it's time to cry. It was like a Grey's Anatomy replacement.
Okay. Yeah, I have to tell Jessica about that. Sure,
it's not
she likes
your genre.
That kind of
not
stuff.
Your genre of TV.
Not me.
Not for you. You're not trying to cry, not trying to get a sob in.
No. I don't get too, you know, yeah, it's weird. I don't get the same kind of emotional. Like, there's a show, I Love That For You. You remember that show?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, dude, the show was so fun.
Oh, I love that show,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so in the premise of the show, and this isn't like a spoiler because this is like the premise of the show, is that, you know, this woman becomes a sort of QVC host, and everybody at the company kind of has a hook that sort of like makes them, sets them apart from the other hosts, so that makes the audience want to engage with them. And she kind of lies about having cancer in order to sort of, you know, have a hook.
Yeah.
But then sort of has to kind of live with that lie. It's told in a very funny way. And she had cancer.
Played by Vanessa
younger.
Beyer, who is so, so funny.
Dude, she
in the role.
Crushes it. But like this, so we're watching that show. I am dying laugh the whole time. My wife is like shaking because of the lie.
Yeah.
Because she can't handle the anxiety of the lie.
Oh, yeah.
It's like too
I mean,
much,
there are some
know?
Moments where I was kind of like, oh no. Like, I think the moment when the woman realizes, like, the person who brought the meatballs is her dad and not the doctor or whatever. And that's when one of the parts where I was like, oh my gosh, no. She has to, like, oh my God. And when she, like, finally, I'm not, again, no spoilers, but when there is some sort of thing that happens, just whatever. I was on my couch crying. I was really just like, I can't believe this is happening. I just was sobbing. I was like, oh my gosh. With the boss character. Oh my God, what is that actress's name?
Oh, dude, she was great.
She's
too.
She's amazing. Yeah. I mean, everybody. Molly Shannon is also in it. Like,
Molly Shannon, I mean, you know, she's so good in that. Yeah, that's a show I really wish would come back.
That show was so good. I think they it's on a official hiatus. It's one of those up in the air. Jennifer Lewis is the boss. Yes. Absolutely incredible. And I heard they have an entire second season ready to go.
Oh yeah, I think they're ready with that one.
It's just so good.
You like to watch new stuff, right? Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time. Like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's all new, and it's streaming now on Hulu.
If a friend asks how you're doing, and you say,
I'm okay.
When the truth is,
I don't want my problems to burden anyone.
Or you say,
hang it in there.
Because,
if I ask for help, they'll just think I'm weak.
Then this is your sign to call, text, or chat. 988 for free, confidential support. Anytime. You don't have to hide how you feel.
What else are you watching? Anything else?
Well, you know, I'm starting to watch, you know, again, I'm really like kind of into like sci-fi stuff. So Foundation, also on Apple TV. Invasion, also on Apple TV.
You're a real Apple TV head. Look at you.
I love it. I'm an Apple guy, you know. I'm in the Apple ecosystem over here. Yeah, you know, I don't know what it is, and maybe it's just their marketing, and that, you know, they're able to put their previews up right away when I turn my TV on.
True. I am always getting hit with them. It is immediate.
Yeah. But I also just like them. You know, they, you know, obviously, like I said, they put a lot of money into them. So they all look really good. They get some really great, you know, actors. They get some really great writers to come in. They got some really great IP. Both Silo and Foundation are like based off some really incredible.
Yeah, I books. Haven't watched Foundation or Invasion. What are those two about?
So Foundation is Foundation is actually based off a book that Star Wars is sort of based off. Oh. So it's this like crazy Isaac Asimov book about a civilization, spacefaring civilization, and it takes place over like centuries, decades, centuries, the storyline. And I guess, you know, again, it's really just about family, but a weird family. So like, just to give you an idea of how some of it works, like in this one sort of empire that's in charge has an emperor, a king, right? But the way that the king works is at one point that guy just cloned himself.
Oh, whoa. Well,
and so that person became the king. And then he cloned himself again. And so at all times, there's basically three emperors. There's a younger one, sort of a middle-aged one who's sort of the most in charge. And then there's an older one who's kind of advisor to the one before. And then the older one will die off. And the middle one will grow older, and the younger one will take the middle spot, and then they'll open up a new one will be born.
Wow.
And so they've been running the universe for hundreds of years and stuff. And so the empire's kind of crumbling, you know, and as the clones, each generation is getting worse and worse of these clones. And it's a great story. And there's tons of other stuff that happens in it, but it's just this epic space
tale. Well, that sounds really
like
fun.
Dune, stuff like that. Invasion. So also sci-fi, but very much just an invasion story. You know, think like War of the Worlds, stuff like that. You know, these aliens show up on Earth and just start doing weird stuff. And then it kind of tells the stories of a couple of different people trying to deal with the invasion. Again, it's really just about family. You're like, what each person's little story and how their family's dealing with it. You know, how their interpersonal relationships are dealt with it. I don't necessarily love it, Invasion. You know, there's this market.
I love an alien show. So
yeah. And there's this sort of world of alien and sci-fi shows that just like they're not that great. But I love them. I could just sit and watch them all day long and watch like corny dialogue and, you know, the same repetitive characters. You know, the government's like, these aliens aren't going to be that bad. And then, of course, they're that bad. And
of course,
you
know, yeah.
I love that stuff.
Yeah.
You know, it's just my crack. So I'm glad it came back because I was a little worried because this, you know, that's another one where that's like a big, you know, kind of ends on like this big cliffhanger. And I was worried it wasn't going to come back, but luckily it did. Not like that. Oh, man, you know what's that other one that didn't come back? They canceled. It was an Amazon show.
I loved it. The Chloe, what's her face in it?
It was called, it was like the, not the Rift.
The Periphery? The Peripheral.
The Periphery. Oh, my goodness. It was the Periphery. The Peripheral.
Yeah.
So good.
Peripheral? I can't even say.
Can't say the show.
The Peripheral. I remember when they announced it. I was at the Comic-Con where they like showed some of it, and I was in. I was like, "This looks so great." And I think they just like if a show doesn't get a lot of buzz over there, they'll just like cancel it. But it was really good.
Dude,
it was a good one.
It was so good. It was so good. You know, and it's also, you know, I play a lot of video games as well, and so like just even the way into the story, you know. Kind of comes in through basically the idea of like you know online you know first person shooter video games. It was like so already I was kind of connected. I was like, oh yeah, I know these games. What's going on here? Oh, they went to the future. Like I was like, oh shit. And like the future was that was another one where it was like the future was so cool. and so interesting and weird. And they were going to explain it. They were trying. They were like, that was kind of the fun, is like sort of explaining how you got from one world to the other. Oh, man, I loved it. And I loved the cast. There was this incredible actor who played the like police lieutenant in the future.
Oh, right.
And they were so good. And the woman was so great. I just loved everything about it. And like, it was one of those things too, where it was like, it was one of those worlds where it's like, is this person a robot? Is this person not a robot? Like, you don't know. Like, oh man. Oh, that was my jam. Like that's my jam. Yeah,
that's, oh, the second we're like, oh no, who, like, is someone an alien? Is someone this? What side are they on? I'm in. And I couldn't believe they canceled that one.
That was a big one. That's one I think Apple should like swoop in and be like, yeah, yo, come over here. Because that show belongs on Apple.
Yeah, I think a lot of these places just need to get used to swapping shows because they're on the wrong thing. We just found out Home Economics was canceled. That was on ABC. Mm. And I just want Netflix to be like, you know, you should have been on us the whole time. Just come on over here.
Yeah.
There's no reason any good TV show should be canceled these days. Not with all these platforms.
No, man, there's plenty of places for all these shows.
There's so many places and they're canceling. They're taking them away. They're taking them down. And I have been watching Gen V on Prime right now.
I have not had a chance to dive into that, but I cannot wait. I hear it is really great.
Do you watch The Boys?
Oh, I watched all of it. Yeah, okay, I loved it.
If you love The Boys, it's great. It's everything you want it to be. It's just enough like lore from The Boys that if you are just watching for that, you're going to be like, oh, that's an interesting little tidbit. Oh, that's a cool little behind the scenes note because it uses a lot of the same characters. But it's okay. Also so original and weird in its own right that I fell in love with it already. I love The Boys, though. I love that whole world. So I was, it hit everything I needed it to hit. You know, there's giant dicks everywhere. There's things exploding.
Yeah. Yes, I did hear about the giant dick.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, which one, honestly? There's
that was my favorite part, too, is that was like my buddy was, I was like, he's like, oh, it's great. And I was like, well, what's the best part about it so far? And then he described this scene with a giant penis.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, all right, dude.
Yeah, it's,
yeah, man. Amazon is like, oh, Amazon is so hit and miss, man.
Yeah.
The boys was a winner, you know.
The Boys was like, a winner, Invincible, a winner.
Like Wheel of Time. I was not a big fan of Wheel of Time.
Wheel of Time either.
And that was an expensive
real expensive.
Yeah, it was super expensive.
Wasn't really a fan of their Ring of
Their Lord of Rings.
Lord of the Rings
was a show. Yeah, that was another one that was a little like, what?
Oh, the Rings of Power.
The Rings of Power. Oh, that's right. Because it's there was a bunch of rings.
Oh, right.
And then they make one ring to rule them all.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, that was another one where it was like, yeah, I just couldn't get on board with that. Either one of those. And that stuff's normally my jam, but.
I don't know. There was something with there's something where you can tell they put so much money into it, but just not in the right places for me when I watched Wheel of Time.
100%.
That didn't just like click for me in this fantasy world. I do like they've been doing more with their documentaries on Amazon Prime Video. Mm-hmm. And they recently had one come out called Desperately Seeking Soulmate about the Twin Flame University cult. I don't know if you do cult docs or if you're into cult docs.
I love cult docs, but I don't know what this one is. Oh, I'm a big cult docs.
Twin Flame University. It was written about by Vice, Sarah Berman, who is one of my favorite writers on cult stuff. She wrote about Nexium. She's amazing. And they also wrote about it in Vogue. And basically, it was an online cult where they convinced you they would help you find your twin flame. They say a twin flame is the person you're born to be with. They're your soulmate, and you're not complete until you find your twin flame. And if you pay them $14,000, they will give you your twin flame and tell you who that is. And so all these people were joining the group. They would listen and pay thousands of dollars for these one-on-ones with this couple. The couple is just like two people from Michigan. Like, they're just like this white couple from Michigan that's like, we bought a Lamborghini. Like,
oh no.
They're like, we talked to the crystals and they told us your partner is this person. And basically all these women joined the group and would pay them and wouldn't find their soulmate. But they would be like, I know my twin flame is my ex, but he left me. He got a restraining order against me. And they would be like, if he's really your twin flame, a restraining order won't stop you. It won't matter.
No,
and they would encourage them to keep going. And this woman ended up in prison because she was like, he's my twin flame. They told me I can't stop. There's this other woman who is telling them, she's like, I thought my twin flame was ready to be with me. I've known him for 2 years. And in those 2 years, we've gotten so close. I know he knows I'm his soulmate. And I thought we were going to be together, but he just told me he's having another baby with his girlfriend. So why would he do that when we're twin flames? And they're like, well, how long has he been with the girlfriend? And she's like, 14 years. She's like, they've been together 14 years, but I've known him 2 years. And they're just like, you can't give up. Like, you have to pursue him and show him the value of having a family with you. And people like ruin their lives.
Oh, my goodness, man.
It got to a point where they were convincing some of their followers to transition because they would tell them certain women like this person is your twin flame. Yeah, is a different gender. And they would be like, well, I've always been attracted to men. And they'd be like, well, surprise, actually, this person is a man and we're going to tell them to change their name and cut their hair. So there you go. It works.
Oh, and my God.
Some people, you know, say they weren't forced to transition by them, but some absolutely were like, yes, they kept trying to insist that I change my name. And when I refused, because I was like, no, I'm a woman, they kicked me out of the group. And it is pretty wild. It's 3 episodes. After Shiny Happy People, the Quiverful cult doc that Amazon did, I gotta say they got 2 in a row that were pretty good.
2 in a row that were good. Was not did these people face any consequences?
Not so far. Like, people have tried to call the police on them, but then the police are like, I mean, there really isn't a crime here.
They're just giving bad suggestions.
Advice. And, you know, there are some people in the cult who like live with them and do chores and errands and stuff for free, but they're just like, well, they're all adults. We can't stop like people from living with them. You know, and they're always like, people are allowed to go freely, and their videos have just gotten more and more popular. But it's just kind of a check-in on this cult.
That is always a little tougher for me, just because when it ends, I guess I'm like, so like, what? They're just doing it?
So it's just still happening.
Like, my favorite one was it called The Family? It was like a cult.
Oh, yeah, The Family on Netflix.
Yeah, and they had, like, a restaurant in, like, West Hollywood, and they, like, followed this old dude who was like, I'm Jesus, I'm God on Earth, and all that stuff. And then, you know, and this has been out for a while, so I don't care, you know, and it's a real story. And then he's like, I'm going to go hang gliding in Hawaii. You remember this?
Yes.
And they were, and he was like, he's like, I've never been hang gliding before. And people were like, dude, you should just go hang gliding. He's like, I got this. He just ran off a cliff with a hang glider, and the people described, they're like, yeah, he soared up in the air and then he just went straight down. And his whole thing was like, we can't go to the doctors, and like, they like had it, so they wouldn't take him to the doctor. Like, after the, you know, one day, he's like, get me to the doctor.
Yeah.
I don't want to laugh at this guy.
I don't know, but he was a cult leader. He ruined a lot.
He was not a good guy. He like sexually assaulted young people. He was not a good dude. So, but I love getting the you know, the comeuppance. I love that.
Yeah, I like when it's like, and then the cult ended. It's not like the deep end with Teal Swan. They were just like, and so anyway, more people than ever are watching her videos. And it's,
so if you'd like to send them some money,
and if you're interested in joining them, go click this link.
You want to find your twin flame.
And it's basically that with this one. But also, I guess there is a secondary documentary coming out on Netflix about the same topic. And this documentary is going to be by the crew that made Seduced, Inbal Lesner and Cecilia Holmes, who actually were friends of the podcast. Absolutely love them. Oh, Cecilia Peck. But they made the documentary Seduced, which was the alternative documentary on Nexium. So this is the second time that they're like going up against.
They're making an alternative.
Yeah, they're making an alternative story. And I have a suspicion.
Now let's see. That was the Seduced one was.
Yeah, let's see if you guess which one is the good one. Seduced versus The Vow on HBO Max.
Okay, well, there was one that was kind of made by like the people who were in Nexium.
Yes.
And that was the one that to me felt like they were trying to clear themselves of being bad. And then there was another one that was about, I think it was about a young woman. It kind of more followed her and sort of her journey through it. And I feel like that one seemed like, so that must be the one your friends did.
Yes. that one is Seduced, and it focuses on India Oxenberg, and
yes,
focuses on her story through the cult as the cult was sort of coming down around her. She was one of
the... And is she the one with the mom?
Yes. Catherine Oxenberg, who like went to
war. That features heavily in the other documentary.
She's in both documentaries. And then,
but she was like, I feel like that was another person I was like, and when I watched The Vow, I was like, she's acting like she just was like, oh, I went to a couple of meetings with her, and then she got way into my daughter. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
And I was like, hold on a second. I think you were in a little bit more than you're...
Than you're saying, because they all... Because she also is so close with so many of the NXIVM people when they're still in it, and that's how she was able to like keep tabs on her daughter. So I do think she was more into it.
And they're like little knit sweaters.
Yeah.
Having like around the bonfire at their like her Malibu house. Like, we've got to save my daughter. Do you want another latte? I was like, what are you doing?
There is a point where she brings in her mother, so India's grandmother, who is actually like a princess of Austria or something, but that's how they're rich.
That's right.
Yeah, but she comes in to talk about it and she's like, yeah, my daughter tried to get me to go to a meeting. I went to one and I was like, this woman is an idiot. These people are idiots. And I left. And I'm like, seems like grandma was the only person who really saw this for what it was from the beginning.
I know. I don't understand
but yeah,
it.
The Vow is definitely the next thing people being like, let's just, you know, I don't know. I'm sorry that we did some of, yes, I did.
Yeah, no, that Canadian lady, dude. Nah, man, that ain't right. Look, I've worked with a lot of Canadian actors. They all know who she is. They all knew what was up with her. So they're not right. Those people aren't right. TV, I say.
You like to watch new stuff, right? Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time. Like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's all new, and it's streaming now on Hulu.
If a friend asks how you're doing, and you say,
I'm okay,
when the truth is,
I don't want my problems to burden anyone,
or you say,
hang it in there,
because
if I ask for help, they'll just think I'm weak,
then this is your sign to call, text, or chat 988 for free, confidential support, anytime. You don't have to hide how you feel.
I do want to ask you about two things that have been happening on TV and pop culture this past week. You might not know anything about these situations. I don't care. I want you to pick a side. That's how we're going to...
Got you. I love it. I love blindly choosing sides.
Exactly. That's how we're going to do. First on the list, Below Deck Mediterranean is back with an amazing fifth season that has been blowing my mind. I don't know. Do you watch Below Deck Mediterranean?
I've watched a few episodes of that show.
Captain Sandy. This season, we have a lot of longtime fan favorites back. Who was on Below Deck Down Under, is in this one. And then we also have Natalia, who was on a previous season of Below Deck Med and is a fan villain. Everyone hates her. People love Toomey.
Okay.
Toomey had it took her two episodes to get to the boat because she was held up in customs. Finally, she makes it to the boat. In the meantime, Natalia has been acting in her role as Chief Stew. That's like the boss, you know, Chief Stew.
Natalia
runs the ship through one charter, and then Toomey comes aboard. And Toomey is like, I'm here to do my job, and actually, you're going to be my third Stew. So she gets demoted from chief to third because Kyle, who also is from another season, is coming in to be second.
Okay.
Almost immediately, Toomey and Natalia start fighting. Like, they're going through the boat. Natalia's giving her a tour where everything is. And at one point, Toomey goes, the organization on the boat is horrible. And Natalia's like, what are you talking about? I've done an amazing job. And Toomey's like, I don't mean you. I mean the way the boat is set up. It's like just badly organized. It's not personal. But Natalia takes it. They just like immediately get into a tiff. Toomey is just like, I don't need to hear your personal opinions, like hand in face. Natalia is just like, wow, you, I have an opinion too. You just got here. You know what you're talking about. You're being very rude. Natalia goes, tells everyone on the boat, Toomey is rude. Don't like her. Toomey tries not to play into it, but then she does. She starts fighting back with Natalia while charter guests are on the boat.
Not a good look.
Are you a professional? What are you doing? So fans are divided. Whose side are you on, Toomey or Natalia? Natalia, fan villain, but again, she did run the boat for one charter. Toomey, on the other hand, did come in with a lot of heat. She, you know, came in immediately ready to be, she was just like, I don't need to hear your opinion. Like, you need to respect me, blah, blah, blah. Like, if I, you know, you're getting demoted. So she knew Natalia was a threat.
Look, when you're on the ocean, you got to follow the rules, all right? Somebody comes in, they get put in charge, they're in charge. So if she came in with a lot of heat, good. She should be asserting her dominance and she's coming in and being put in charge. If you get demoted, you suck it up or you get off the boat.
Yeah.
That's how it works. That's how it works in the ocean. Also, Toomey makes incredible luggage, like fine quality luggage.
Very nice luggage. I do have
great
a few
wallets,
Toomey
great bags.
Oh, yeah.
But if you're in charge, you're in charge, and if you get demoted, you get demoted. You just got to suck it up,
or you
quit. Like you don't try to start drama with everybody. I mean, that would be my position.
I'm gonna say you chose correctly. We are Team Toomey over here in TV Club. We are on Toomey's side. Toomey, just, you know, you are Chief Stew. Stop fighting with your third. She's going to be a mess. You focus, girl. We're here
for
you.
Yeah, that's unnecessary. She don't need to be fighting with her. She should just tell her to get off the boat.
And then this past week on Watch What Happens Live with Andy Cohen, it was Zwei, who you may know from her Showtime show.
100%.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you know Zwei, you know Zwei's vibe. She was on the show with Mary Cosby, who is from Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, and who is famous for a moment in the show where she decided to go to McDonald's to get fish fillet and some chicken nuggets instead of hanging out with her friends. It's a, you know.
I do remember.
Key detail.
I do remember this.
And then on Watch What Happens Live, these two are on it together, and Zwei introduces herself to Mary and then pulls out a fish fillet from her purse and offers it to Mary.
Okay.
Which Andy Cohen
good
thinks
bit,
is
good
funny.
Bit.
Good bit. Good bit. It's still warm, and Mary is disgusted by this. She is just like, I don't want anything to do with this. Don't give me this. She's just like, that was a one-time thing. How dare you? She seems almost offended. It's very, very funny. Whose side are you on? And would you eat the fish fillet?
I mean, she didn't have to eat it, but you got to respect that joke. I mean, come on. You can't act like you were on a TV show eating fish fillet. You made a point. You made it a point on your TV show. And the TV show plays over and over again. Everybody knows about it. Yeah, that's fine. That's a good joke. And you shouldn't get, you got to be able to take jokes. If you're going to, you in the wrong game.
Yeah.
You doing the wrong thing. You can't handle that joke. You doing the wrong thing.
Yeah.
I mean, whether or not she eats it, I don't know. I mean, I'm not a big fan of eating something somebody pulls out of a bag.
It was still warm.
That's not a selling point. It's fish. How do you know it's still warm from being cooked? It could just be warm from sitting in the bag for all day.
Okay. Well, but, you know, I'd rather have a warm leftover McDonald's sandwich than a cold one.
Nah, man. There's no leftover McDonald's sandwiches. That's if you are going to, and I highly recommend nobody eating McDonald's sandwiches. But if you are going to, it's got to be like right out the
fresh,
oven.
Fresh, fresh. Yeah.
Just
right
hand it to you.
Right out
the
microwave.
Bag.
I think oven
not
is
out,
a
not
bit
out the
much.
Toomey bag.
I think that is that you chose right there too. That's a great roundup right there. That's our episode. We talked about so much TV just now.
Oh, so much TV. Thanks so much for having me on the show.
Thanks for doing it. Do you have any before we're going to give some people suggestions of things to watch? On my end, you guys, I really need you to go watch the Beckham series on Netflix. It's a documentary about the Beckhams, whom Ooh. I didn't know about or care about. Didn't care about them. I watched that documentary. I love them. I'm obsessed with them.
Oh,
I would put
you're in love with.
I'm
them.
In love with the Beckhams now. Victoria Poschenbecks, mm-hmm. as the British call them, Poschenbecks. I'm obsessed with them. The documentary makes you fall in love. It's so, so good. And then Bob's Burgers is back. So go watch it. There have been two amazing new episodes this season. And also there's a 10th season of 90 Day Fiancé that premiered. So you got any, what do you want the people to watch?
Well, you know, I would definitely recommend checking out Foundation. If, you know, if you're into epic sci-fi, the first season's all up on Apple TV and the second season's just started. And, you know, obviously I'm not technically supposed to be promoting anything right now, but if I was to recommend someone watch a show, you could try checking out a show called The Recruit on Netflix. It's pretty good. I don't know who's in it, but it's a
yeah, I don't know anybody in it. Yep, but yep. But I've heard of that one, and the critics saying
the writing is great. I can promote the writing all I want. Is amazing.
Speaking from a critical perspective,
purely writing,
purely from a critiquing aspect.
Great
to watch.
Alexi Hawley, wonderful.
So there you go. That's your homework. Some wonderful shows to check out. Also, if you would like to support the actors who still are on strike, we're still out on those picket lines. If you're in LA or New York, you can join a picket line. You can drop off food, water. You can also donate money to the Entertainment Community Fund, which is helping non-actor Hollywood crew members who are suffering hardships due to the strike. Those are your makeup artists, the people who can't do their job right now. You can donate at entertainmentcommunity.org and make sure to direct your gift to the film and television category when asked. Colton, thank you so much. Any
Thank
plugs?
You.
You know, where can people follow you?
I'm on Instagram, Threads, Blue Sky. I'm on all those at Captain Dope, CaptainDope. You can find me there.
Boom. There you go. TV Club, you got your homework. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll be back next week with another episode. TV I Say with Ashley Ray is an Earwolf production made by me, Ashley Ray Harris. It's engineered by Abby Aguilar, produced by Anita Flores, executive produced by Amelia Chapelo, and our original theme song is by Rafia. It means so much to me if you go rate, review, subscribe, follow TV I Say. Let us know what you think and tell your friends. Share with your golden girls, tell your boys. If you love my TV recommendations, let everyone you know know. For special TV Club members, join my Patreon.
Experience the joy of running in the new Triumph 22 from Saucony, the original running brand. Stacked with luxury foam cushioning, Triumph 22 turns miles into smiles with the ultimate blend of comfort and energy return. Shop Triumph 22 at Saucony.com. That's SAUCONY.com.
If a friend asks how you're doing, and you say,
I'm okay.
When the truth is,
I don't want my problems to burden anyone.
Or you say,
hang in there.
Because
if I ask for help, they'll just think I'm weak.
Then this is your sign to call, text, or chat. 988 for free, confidential support. Anytime. You don't have to hide how you feel.